Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've got good news in a slightly odd way today, and it comes from Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker. It's not the most complimentary thing towards Mitt Romney, but he's clearly trying to help, and I think it's good advice. Tough love, you might say. We've talked about this in the past, about how Mitt Romney is perhaps hoping to coast on just the fact that we have a crummy economy. People will blame the president, and therefore they'll elect him. And Scott Walker did a good job on Morning Joe today of pointing out that that's not going to be enough in and of itself. Here's what he said.
I think the mistake that they've made is this feeling like it can just be a referendum on the president. And certainly a part of it for any incumbent's got to be a referendum on do you like or dislike not just the president, but his policies. And on the policies, the economy's failing. But there's got to be something more than that. People won't just vote somebody out. They want to vote somebody in.
Right.
The two have to go hand in hand. He's still going to make the case, which I think he can do at the convention.
And there's certainly signs that he's doing a little bit more of that, Jim, calling out the president on the national security leaks yesterday at the VFW convention out in Nevada. And I think as this campaign heats up, more people are paying attention. You'll probably see some sharper elbows here. But the more Romney hears this, I think the more it'll help him.
The argument against Obama has probably saturated the public about as much as it's going to, which I think probably some conservatives and Republicans may find a little unnerving. But they said, look, people will not respond to Obama failed, the economy stinks, it's time for a change, any more than they already are. What they need now is the positive alternative message. And he looked deep into the polling numbers and he said, look, you know, there are a lot of people who want to hear more about, you know, what was Mitt Romney like when he was governor of Massachusetts? The horror stories of Bain Capital. But what did he do there that should make Americans feel to be a good leader? What did he do at the Olympics that would make people think that he can have as an effective turnaround artist for the nation as a whole? So I listed a couple of things on Campaign Spot today. You know those ads of the most interesting guy in the world, Greg?
Sure.
Well, Mitt Romney, I will admit, is not the most interesting man in the world. But he might be the most interesting, boring man in the world. Meaning that this is a guy who, in addition to having some very interesting high-level confrontations with a incompetent state bureaucrats when he was governor of Massachusetts, the way he really pinched pennies during the Olympics, a couple of street-fighting incidents when he was doing his missionary work over in France. You did not picture Mitt Romney to be a barefoot street fighter, did you, Greg? Is that the first mental image that comes to mind when you hear the name Mitt Romney?
Not usually.
So I think there's more to be told about this candidate. I think his campaign has to get into that. I guess there's a certain argument you could make that people aren't paying as much attention yet and that they'll really tune in after the Olympics for the conventions. And there's probably a certain amount of accuracy to that. But this is not an element of Romney's record that he can ignore. I think he really needs to spotlight it and say, look, America, you've seen the caricature. Now here's the real me, and talk about, you know, giving up his inheritance, all the charitable work he's done over the years, you know, everything, including the story when he saved a bunch of folks from a boat that was sinking out in a lake in New Hampshire somewhere. I mean, there's a whole life there that most Americans know almost nothing about. And I think he's got to be comfortable running on his personal narrative, his life story. He needs to get Americans to feel like they know him, they know his values, they know what he's all about. I think it's getting to be time to do that for the Romney campaign. So to see Scott Walker coming out and saying this, I think it's constructive criticism, and I think it may light a necessary fire under that campaign.
And they can certainly use it. We're going to see, I think, a big rollout at the convention. I think that would be smart, and you're right. That's the part of this campaign that people don't know about yet. Most people have decided whether they think Obama deserves another 4 years. What some people aren't decided on is whether Mitt Romney would be a suitable replacement for President Obama, and that's the mission ahead. So he might want to leave some of the red meat to Chris Christie and some of the others who will be in prominent speaking slots at the convention, and perhaps do a good job of telling his story in his speech and beyond. Obviously, there'll be some criticism of the president in his speech as well, but a full picture of himself will be helpful, I think, as he moves forward here. On to martini number two now, and as we know, the big fight, in addition to the race for the White House, is can Republicans win the Senate? They also want to hold the House, but that seems relatively safe at this point. But they need to pick up a few seats in the Senate to get the majority, and then if they can win the White House and keep the House, things will be looking pretty good for the next couple of years in terms of advancing a more conservative agenda. Not getting a lot of help from at-large Republican Alaska Congressman Don Young, who has now taken to a TV spot to endorse the Democrat in the open Senate seat in Hawaii. That's Mazie Hirono, who's currently a member of the House. Here's a couple of clips from this extraordinarily cheesy commercial.
Aloha, I'm Mazie Hirono, and I'm a Democrat.
I'm Don Young of Alaska, and I'm a Republican.
Yes, you certainly are, Don.
Well, but while Mazie and I don't see eye to eye on everything, we've done something too many people in Washington refuse to cross the aisle and do. We've worked together.
Oh, it gets better from Congressman Young.
But here's what's important, Hawaii. If you're looking for a United States senator who doesn't just talk about bipartisanship, but actually knows how to work with both Republicans and Democrats to get things done, Mazie Hirono will be that senator.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate that.
Now, there you go. Nice folksiness there from the folks in Alaska and Hawaii. But the problem here, though, of course, Jim, is not only as a long-serving member of the Republican delegation openly endorsing a Democrat in a seat that is probably going to be won by Hirono anyway. The fact that bipartisanship is a key issue in Hawaii means this race is still a little bit up in the air. And Young, who does not do conservatives any favors anyway because he's one of the biggest porkers on Capitol Hill, couldn't keep his mouth shut and just let the cards play out here, but actually try and help the Democrat in the race.
Greg, why do I get this feeling that when Young says get things done, he means help me bring spending back to my state?
Right.
Perhaps I'm being cynical there, but that seems like the best way to explain this bizarre non-contiguous state alliance that we're seeing here. If I were a Democrat, I think Don Young's among the last Republicans I would want endorsing me. And the fact that he thinks this is a good idea and she thinks this is a good idea probably says this is, you know, a strong argument against both of them. So this would have just as easily worked for our crazy Martini. It is bizarre. It is unexpected. And it is kind of frustrating. I wonder if at some point the NRCC will tell Young, not that he needs it, don't come to us for any help in the future. So if you're doing what you can to help out Democrats get, you know, win Senate seats, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a Democratic-leaning state. Obviously, it's going to go heavily for Obama, most likely. At the same time, though, you know, Linda Lingle, a two-term governor out there, she's about as strong of a candidate as the Republicans can field in a state like Hawaii. And to kind of kneecap her like this is not going to help the effort to pick up that seat as part of the four that Republicans would like to get, at least three, if they can win the White House, is what they'll need for the majority. So on to Martini number three now. And David Axelrod is clearly in a position, Jim, we've seen this in other quotes we've played from him in the past, where he's just out of answers. And so he'll make up anything to explain why, in fact, his candidate is not doing nearly as well as he'd like him to be. The latest example of that is, once again, a clip from Morning Joe, where Scarborough simply points out that a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll shows that more voters think that the Obama campaign is more negative than the Romney campaign. And, well, Axelrod has a very choice answer to that.
Almost by a 2-to-1 margin, the respondent said the Obama campaign was running the more negative campaign than the Romney campaign.
Partly, Joe, that's because the Romney campaign and their friends in the super PAC world have just spent tens and tens of millions of dollars specifically on spots accusing Obama of running a negative campaign. So I'm not surprised to see those numbers jump a little.
So it's not your negative ads, it's their negative ads accusing you of being negative that has caused
I think that had an impact on the numbers.
Jim, I don't know where the straight face test went, but even when MSNBC's laughing at you, you better work on your talking points a little bit better.
Look, here's everything you need to know about David Axelrod's mentality. Nothing is ever Obama's fault. All right? You know, when he says you didn't build that, he didn't really mean that. The high unemployment, headwinds, ATMs, corporate jets, et cetera, nothing is ever his fault. And so even when the Obama campaign runs like a bazillion dollars in negative ads, Axelrod can't say, yeah, we've been attacked, we're going to attack, this is the way the campaigns are. You know, he can't even take responsibility for that. He's got to go out and say, oh, it's because Romney's accusing us of running negative ads that people think we're running negative ads, as opposed to actually seeing the ads. There's denial that's kind of required of you working on a campaign. You really can't focus too much on your boss's negatives. And then there's the one where you just kind of insult the intelligence of the viewer, and that's what we're seeing here. So I guess he would argue that the Romney ads are effective in persuading the country that Obama's running a more negative campaign by like 2-to-1. If that's the case, Greg, why would Romney be ahead by a 2-to-1 margin across the whole country?
Good question. David Axelrod has no answers for that, though.
He couldn't keep a straight face even for that one, I suppose.
Exactly right. Well, we got three more months of the spin, the duck, and the dodging from David Axelrod and others. Should be fun. Jim, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.